the big thing that people have to understand is the preconceptions you have in your head mm-hmm. of what PadSplit is and all that stuff that goes on in your thought process. It's not anywhere what it is. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to The Azria Show. If you're looking for quality real estate investing information that you can trust, you've found it. Stay tuned and join the tens of thousands of members that have already benefited from Azria, your home for education, market information, support, and networking opportunities that will advance your real estate investing career.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of The Azria Show. I am your host, Marcus Maloney, and we have our executive director and co-host, Mike Delpre.
Hello, hello.
Come on, Mike. Give me some energy.
I don't got my coffee today, man. I got boring water.
Last time you were just back from a Vegas trip and a little bit slow.
Oh, yeah, Vegas will do that.
Yeah. He still has some of those toxins in his system. But today, guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for always being loyal listeners. Today, we're going to be talking about PadSplit. In a prior episode, we had Ellis Tran here, and he talked about the transition with PadSplit. Today, we want to do an update with Ellis, and then we want to introduce you to two new PadSplit people that are transitioned from short-term rental over to PadSplit. So, man, Ellis, take it away, man. Give us the give us the update.
I was just trying to find when I came on last. I think it was in September. We launched the market. I launched the market here last January, and in September, I don't remember how many properties we had, but now we have 64 properties, 420 bedrooms. If you look at the occupancy across all of these bedrooms, we're at 82% occupancy.
Okay.
If you look at PadSplit 90 days or older, that consists of 270 bedrooms. We're at 95% occupancy, and that holds true because Brian and Gina here, they become hosts. Super hosts very quickly. They got on board in July, and now they have 7 properties online. They self-manage, and they're really utilizing the power of this model and scaling this thing out pretty aggressively.
So you know, one day I got an elevator with my friend, and we both got stuck. That just kind of
wow.
Okay. Yeah, that reminded me of that. You're right. No, I wanted to go just real quick. Yeah. Great numbers. Just real quick. Who are you?
Sure. PadSplit. Yeah.
And that's so they can understand those numbers.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yes. There you go. My name's Ellis Tran. Technically, officially, an account executive at PadSplit. I started with them in January of 2023. My whole job is to launch the market. I help hosts get on board as PadSplit hosts and just make sure they have a good experience with us. Make sure they make their money, make sure they're doing good by providing affordable housing to those people that really need it. I throw a bunch of events. My whole job is just to get the word out. I'll be at Think Realty where mm-hmm. Mike's going to be moderating one of the mm-hmm. talks. So that's all I do.
So awesome. What is PadSplit?
Yeah, PadSplit is the Airbnb of co-living, of rent by room. So if you have a single family property, let's call it a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom home, 2,000 square feet, you can probably get 7 to 8 bedrooms out of it after converting the common areas, possibly the garage, into more bedrooms.
Okay. So, and I know we talked about this in a prior episode, but why is that important, especially in today's market?
Just see the affordability issue. That's especially here in Arizona, the state is expanding very rapidly. The average studio here is, 1,400 plus? Mm-hmm. The barrier to entry into the traditional studio or apartment is very high. You have the first month's rent, last month's rent, mm-hmm. deposit, high credit score. In our model, barrier to entry is very low in comparison, so it's very flexible in that regard. And we're doing a good thing. We're helping people get housing, which is a basic need.
And how many markets are you guys in now?
Ooh, we just launched maybe 5 more this year, so we're in 18 different cities.
18 cities. Wow. Okay. So it's working.
It's working. Awesome, we just crossed 11,000 bedrooms across the board, 90% plus occupancy. So the word is getting out. Now, if you guys are familiar with Stephen Graham, he's a YouTuber. He's got 4.5 million followers or subscribers, and he just posted about PadSplit a couple days ago. So
awesome. Okay.
It's only a matter of time before this PadSplit wave continues.
So should these properties be in Class A, B, C?
Usually Class C is what we say, but I know Brian and Gina have a few probably in Class B.
Yeah. Okay.
The higher you go, the more likely neighbors will complain if it's not properly managed, if the parking is not ample. So part of my job is to evaluate these properties to make sure these homes are PadSplittable.
Okay, perfect.
PadSplittable.
Splittable. I like it.
I love it. So introduce us. Who'd you bring here today?
Yeah, no, this is Brian and Gina Kingdeski. Congrats on the recent...
Yes, congratulations. Congrats.
But they were introduced to me by, I think he was actually on here, Brandon Simmons.
Yeah, Brandon, good friend.
So I was introduced to Brandon through another current host, and he just went through his Rolodex, and I think you guys popped into his mind. But I texted you guys, and we had a lunch pretty quickly thereafter.
Tokyo Joe's.
Yep.
Yeah.
On Pat's foot. He paid.
Yeah, we're the best.
He always pays. Down for another one.
There you go. But that was back in July of last year, and I think within, what was it, 5 weeks, six
three,
weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
They went live with their first Pat's foot.
Great.
So I can say one thing. Ryan is doing very, very well. Look at that rock on that.
Wow, look at that.
We work really hard.
There you go.
Yeah, and since then, they've scaled very aggressively. They have 7 properties right now. What is it, 45 bedrooms?
51.
51 bedrooms. Wow. And then they have a couple more in the pipeline. So. Yeah.
True.
Okay.
And they transitioned from Airbnb. They had a few properties that were hurting a little bit, and they transitioned them over to PadSplit. So their first 3 PadSplits were luxury PadSplits, let's call it.
Okay.
Really nice, and they demanded a higher premium, and you've had
the members stay
there for quite some time, right?
For sure, yeah. We have some of our first members that are still there from when they first moved in. Yeah. It's been super successful for us. When we first... heard about co-living and PadSplit. Both Brian and I come from a real estate background. Brian's been doing fix and flips for about 24 years. And then I come from new home sales. And we combined forces a couple years ago and started building our portfolio of short-term rentals. And after last year's Super Bowl and everybody and their mother decided that they were going to put their house up for short-term rental, we started to see the decline in our properties. And so we knew we had to do something. Enter Ellis, and we went
Enter Sandman.
Came into this meeting with total apprehension, really concerned.
Lots of questions.
Lots of questions. Had this idea of what these people were going to be like. If anybody's old enough, you can remember back in the late 80s when Real World came out. It was 7 strangers put together in a house, filmed. Like, that's what I pictured. After meeting with Ellis, I had a whole new light on everything and decided this was our way that we can help out the community and help give back to people. So we went for it.
So talk about that transition, right? Because you guys were doing high luxury short-term rentals, and then it's saying, okay, well, we're going to put 7 people in a house together and you got to retrofit that home that you already spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in retrofitting, right? Renovating. And now you got to kind of undo it. Kind of talk us through that, Brian.
Yeah. So, you know, like Gina said, it was just mind blowing. And like the big thing that people have to understand is the, you know, preconceptions you have in your head of what PadSplit is and all that stuff that goes on in your thought process. It's not anywhere what it is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Ellis and I were talking, and Gina, earlier, you know, before we started, the average age is about 35 to 40. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, hey, we're doing this. We're going to have a bunch of punks, ASU, partying, killing our houses.
Frat boys.
It's not like that. Yeah. It's quiet. Like, we walk in our houses all the time. Everybody knows. Everybody hugs Gina. They love Gina. And, you know, because she's just so just involved in the day-to-day. So, but it's nothing than what you think. It's not it's not what you think. So that's the biggest thing I want everyone to understand, because that's the fear of getting in. So we had that. We talked to Ellis, and then we had 3 houses in Scottsdale at one point before, you know, the rates went crazy. We had them all appraised. They're $1.1 million houses. So so then after we met with Ellis, it was summertime. These were the 3 vacation rentals that did not have pools, so they were sucking.
Okay.
Yep. So we're like, you know, we mulled it over and talked and talked and talked, and we talked to everybody at PadSplit corporate-wise. Ellis kept, hey, call this person, call this person. Mm-hmm. We did this. Listen to this. Read this. Go to this podcast. Like, we went hard in the paint, and that's just our personalities. And so, you know, I, like Gina said, I've been doing this for 24 years. We've done well over 2,000 houses. So, like, you know, once something made sense to us, we were like, let's do this, right? And so, and that's the other key that people got to hear is like, this is a great vehicle. Out of the last 2 years, all that we've done in our real estate history, like pad split is like the bright light in this crazy market right now. You know, normal rentals, vacation rentals, I don't really know of anyone doing any well. Fix and flip, we're still doing a bunch of those. We probably have 20 going on at any time.
Wow.
We don't make any money as much as we used to anymore. Right. So you have to do volume to make, you know, every aspect. Wholesaling, we still do some of that. That's, you know, it's just all those things right now. Pad splits, the bright light.
Wow.
And that's great. So we did all this stuff, research, and then we basically took one house and the three Scottsdale houses that are nice. We didn't want to destroy them, so they're only 6 2.5s. So what we did is we went in there, we met with Ellis, and I think Marcus came in town, the marketing guy. And so we're like, okay, we're going to put a bedroom here, and then we're going to take the garage and convert a bedroom there. So that we had a six, but it's really cool because all those three homes, we could sell them the way they are. They look normal. And that's the thing that when we're doing this, we're thinking, you know,
aesthetics.
The end in mind.
Oh, you got a recurrent income.
In case we got to take a wall down and sell it or whatever. But, and I can talk about that after. But so we went in there and I literally, you know, I took one of my guys that's been working with me for 18 years. We went in there. I think it cost maybe $8,000 to $10,000 to, because we already had a lot of the furniture all that stuff. So, and he did it in 10 days, I think, the first one. And then we went online. But one thing, we walked three houses with Ellis, and then like we get to the last one, he's like, oh, you have to put a hallway in the master bedroom going to the bathroom, because it has to be a 4-to-1 ratio bedroom to bathroom.
Maximum.
Yeah. So then we're like, oh, crap. So then we had to go back, redesign it. So we did it. But
now we got that down. We got that down now.
We went live, and Ellis filled the whole thing 100% in 5 days.
Not me personally.
Pad split
marketing machine. Okay. Yeah.
That was the first record that we broke with Pad Split.
And it was hard because those houses were so nice. So then we talked to everybody about pricing because it's like, you know, we can't go too high because Pad Split's this model. And so, you know, we went around and around and around, and we kind of let them take the lead, and we came up, I think, you know, $250 to $280
correct
per room, which, you know, the average is like $217.
That's so, a week.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Times that by 4.33, the days in the month, depending in 30 or 31 or 28, 29. And so, yeah, we filled it up quick. And so then we're like, oh my gosh, let's do it again. So we did it again. We filled it up in 3 days. We did it again. We filled it up in 5 days. Those are the three nice ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then all along, and then we're like, and then after that, we're like, you know, our minds were just opened, and we're like, okay, how, we need more money to fund, we need more investors. We need to, we need to scale this. Like that's where we went immediately, which was a little bit ahead of where we should have been because, you know, there's the whole thing, which now we figured out, but there's the refinancing of it on the back end. Like we have a whole model that we do different than almost all the other owners, the way we buy and refinance amount and stuff like that. So we have a little different model, but we love it.
We do.
I just talked a lot. Sorry.
Amazing.
No, you did.
So the comp model, like the compensation between what you were getting for short-term rental and pad split, comparable? Is it more?
Yeah, I mean, during high season, for sure, it's comparable. But we were going into those summer months that, you know, we're eating a $5,000 a month mortgage.
Okay.
And this was filling that void for us. And not only was it filling that void, but finally, instead of dealing with bachelor and bachelorette parties and people, you know, just here to have fun, we were taking what is needed in this community, and we were able to help those people in need.
Perfect. Now you got someone that doesn't want to lose the place. Potentially, they like, it's affordable. They're in Scottsdale. That's amazing.
And they walk in, and so many of the members are like, oh my gosh, this feels like a mansion to me. It's so beautiful. So you really just have to take out your opinion. Hey, could I live in a 7-bedroom house with 2 baths? Probably not. And really say, for this is providing them a safe place, a beautiful home, and they feel comfort in that, and they're able to afford it with your utilities paid for, with your internet paid for. You know, and it's really nice because some of our houses, there's definitely a sense of community within the house. We do have one of our, it was our rock and roll themed house, the individuals, they get together on Sunday nights. They have family dinners mm-hmm. together. Cool. You walk mm-hmm. into the house. The doors are open. It's not like what you expect.
Right.
Closed doors, no one interacting. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it is at that house. Other houses, it's more quiet. You walk in, you can't even tell somebody lives there.
It's crazy.
Like, the kitchen is spotless.
You got eight people living there. Looks like no one lives there.
Yeah.
And then the thing that Marcus or Ellis talked about with the parking, it's most people don't have cars.
Correct.
It's yes. less for mm-hmm. ours. I don't know what your stats like are.
55% right
now. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Phoenix have cars.
Ours is less, oh. I think, less than that because, like, you go to a house and there's nobody there, like nobody cars. Lives there, like, yeah. it's weird. And so, but.
Yeah. Well,
some key things there, right? As investors, we always have to pivot. We always have to know mm-hmm. what's needed in the marketplace. And you guys saw, you know, with the help of Ellis, a void in the marketplace plus a void that was in your yeah. portfolio. And you married the two together and said, hey, you know what? We can fix some of the problems that's going on in the community as far as affordability. And we could fix our problem with yeah. eating this $5,000 a month mm-hmm. mortgage yeah. on this short-term rental. So, man, kudos to you guys for really doing that.
Yeah, yeah, I've always said my job is really to reframe people's minds, investors yeah. mostly, mm-hmm. from the property standpoint of, you know, chopping it up, renovating it, converting the common areas into the additional bedrooms, and then also from the demand side, because there is a large group of people that need affordable housing, and being able to afford a room that's $930 per month, everything yeah. included, in a mm-hmm. decent, well-managed place is a huge value proposition.
Yeah.
Also, well, now property number two. So you guys drank the juice, so to speak, right? So yeah. which is great. So yeah. then you said you did three properties at
first?
We
did all three of the South Scottsdale ones. And okay. They're all similar. They're close by to each other. We did them all, and they filled up right away.
Great.
And then once that happened, then we're already starting to buy the next okay. ones. And so then we bought another set of three. And then the part that, you know, the big part is we just buy them kind of like we're doing the flip model. So we mm-hmm. use, you know, hard money. Oh. We get the repair money from the hard money lender mm-hmm. and private funds. We combine those and use those. And then we fix it up, and then we get it all furnished and make it look all pretty, and then we work on the refinance with the DSCR loan. Mm-hmm. So now we've gone through, because before when we did the three, we already owned them. And right. so now we went through this whole other process, which was a sticking point in, mm-hmm. in the community of like, oh, we got to get them refied. Mm-hmm. So, or a lot of the other owners, they purchased them, and then
traditionally
off the MLS.
Okay.
So they have zero equity in it. So mm-hmm. we do it that way, and then it's considered a refi, not a purchase. So then a little bit of the money has to stay in there with the loan. But then we're at 80%. We have good equity, and the model just makes more sense in the long run. Who doesn't want equity and cash flow?
That's smart. Because a lot of people got caught when their interest rates doubled yeah. or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. There's no equity.
Yeah.
Some people just go in and say, hey, oh, you can make $6,000 a month. Okay, I'll pay more for the house.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
So I like how you're doing that. Can we go through the numbers a little bit?
Yeah.
Sure.
So now you're acquiring new houses. So I'm assuming you're mm-hmm. buying it off market, wholesalers. Yeah. So, but now though, versus MLS, you have some probably renovation plus. Well, does that actually help out when you do your renovation? Now you go straight to the pad split model.
Straight to the conversion, right.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you got the renovation, then the furnishing and all that. Mm-hmm. So what are some, so you're buying under 80%, so you could, well, under 80%.
Well, we're buying when you, because like Ellis was saying, we're doing the value add. So mm-hmm. ours are, you know, it's always been this way. You know, when I was getting into real estate 24 years ago, going to auctions and walking these mm-hmm. houses, like the secret was always finding the house that they priced wrong that had the extra square footage.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. we're still using mm-hmm. that same strategy
awesome.
24 years ago. So mm-hmm. we're buying when you math it out after it's appraised, we're buying at like 50 to 60% because we're converting that 400 square foot garage.
Right.
And then we're usually taking that storage shed and then another add on in the back. So mm-hmm. we're adding, like the one that we just went live in Gilbert, we added like 800 to 900 square feet.
Yeah, because that was okay. a smaller one in terms
yeah,
of
it was like 1,100, 1,200 square feet, and now it's over 2.
Wow.
And it's an 8.3. And we like to do a minimum of 3 bathrooms just to do that. So
okay.
so we're buying that cheap. So mm-hmm. then when you're, you know, after you're refinancing, it allows you still to have equity in the homes.
And are you bumping into any issues with the DSCR loan, like just being a new model, new structure of the house? Like,
it's been fun. It's been
yeah,
fun.
Tell
but
us
we
about
can,
that.
We can say we've got three Three. We're working on our fourth one, which should be refinanced by the beginning of April. But it's definitely a process. We have been working with a lender that she knows how to get it done. And you just have to be patient. And
our first lender that refied our vacation rentals, I had talked to him, and he has a kind of like a relationship with PadSplit. I don't know how he, what he exactly calls it, like a partnership, right? So even with him, so every DSCR lender you talk to, they'll say, yeah, I can do it. I can do it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Salespeople.
Every single one of them has, it's like, you know, when you're with somebody, a new friend or something, you find out these weird things about them at the end. It's just like that.
Yeah. Because, that's a good point.
Right? Yeah. Because they say, oh, I can do it. But then every single one of them, there's something weird you got
to
do.
Well, I need you to do that.
Yes. So it's a little bit of that. We're the person that we use. It's the least weird. But because when you get to the end, they'll say stuff like, yeah, we'll appraise it before it's filled. Okay. Some say that. Or you get six filled and then you appraise it, refinance it, then you got to add the other two bedrooms afterwards. Mm. Like every person says they can do it, but it's a weird thing at the end. So we kind of figured out what we're comfortable with, and it's, you know, a little different, it's just because they don't have a package for co-living yet. Just
model.
Like Airbnb, it's too new. Yeah. The investors aren't comfortable. What if this, and this? And so it's going to be here. There's going to be a normal, you know, PadSplit DSCR package that people can use.
Sure.
It's coming, but right now it's just different. And then the other part is everyone's different. If they got a W-2, they can refinance it at 15%. Yeah. And they, if each person, it's different.
Mm-hmm. It always depends. That's
their financial situation makes a different job and all that stuff too. So, but the traditional investor, it's going to be different. Who's not a W-2, it's going to be.
Got it.
But it's we're doing it. We're getting it done.
We are. Okay. And we're telling people, let us be the guinea pigs. Let us figure
we're
it out.
We're always the guinea pigs.
Yeah. Let us see what works and what hoops you have to go through and get it done.
Yeah.
So
I mean, in the larger picture, it's still very early in Arizona.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys stand to benefit from that. I mean, just with all the vendors that we've onboarded recently as well, you know, certain realtors, general contractors, property managers, it was new to the state a year ago, but they have, you know, experience with PadSplit, and they understand the power of the model, so it drives business to them as well.
And people now are like selling PadSplits, like that's how far we've come. Yeah. So people are actually selling fully furnished PadSplits now, because that was one of the things we're like, oh, you know, what if we have to convert it back and knock down walls and stuff?
Right.
And we knew this was coming, and we were like, oh, maybe we can sell it to sober living or senior housing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now it's actually people are buying turnkey PadSplits.
Well, because the numbers are there when they're seeing how much that they can make each month and stuff like that. It's profitable.
Okay.
And like I continue to say, you're giving back. Not only are you building your portfolio and making some money on it, but you're giving back. And hopefully people see that rather than just how much money you're
going to
make.
Yeah. So, Ellis, have you ever run into a problem, you know, across probably any other the metros, like NIMBY, not in my backyard, people having issues with that?
Yeah, there was one in Scottsdale. A PadSplit got set up literally right next door to a neighbor who had a little sign on his lawn that said no Airbnbs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I
can imagine
naturally,
that.
I think he reported the property. And
it was an Airbnb, though.
It was an Airbnb.
No?
Yeah. The minimum commitment for a PadSplit member is 31 days.
Mm-hmm.
For Airbnb short-term, it's 30 days or less. But she got the letter. The host got the letter. It said no Airbnb, no rent by room. And so whenever that happens, our legal team will step in to help. They'll craft a response, reply accordingly. They did that, and it's been 3 or 4 months, and we haven't heard back, so we have to assume all is good. There was another one in Phoenix where the neighbor thought it was a halfway home.
Mm-hmm.
We're far from a halfway home. They're well-managed, nice, clean rooms. And the inspector came by. He asked how many bedrooms were in the property, and the tenant the member who opened the door said 8. And then the inspector said, well, this is only 5 on the floor plan. It's fine. You just need to get it permitted as a, I think, boarding house or something. I don't know exactly.
Okay.
But the investor kind of played it slow. Hasn't heard back. And that was maybe more than half a year ago. Those are the only two so far across 64 properties. And so far, so good.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because Gene and I are looking ahead. And so with Ellis, we talk a lot. But I just feel as this catches on, you're going to have this cities, governors, mayors coming in and like accepting this, because there's a housing crisis in America, mm-hmm. and this is a way to solve it. Yeah. Like, it really is. Like, it's, and we think about, you know, different things down the road once we're established more, like doing houses for moms with kids, maybe abused situations, like dedicate houses for specific uses. Like, there's a lot that this whole platform can allow to help.
Yeah, on the topic, on the legal stuff, we recently won a case, I think it was in Riverside, Georgia. Atlanta's our flagship market, but we were in litigation, I don't know the exact terms, but we were involved in a legal case with the city, I believe, for 2 years. And we actually just won it. I think it was around the occupancy issue with unrelated occupants. And so I think that's going to set a precedent for press, but I think eventually we'll probably do some press on it. Cool. But like Brian said, it's undeniable. We're doing a good thing. It's providing affordable housing. We're filling a gap that these cities aren't filling. So if you're into the social entrepreneurship side of things, this is a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. And the reason why I asked that is because I was just in Dallas-Fort Worth over the weekend, and I was looking at some properties, and they were doing...
It's a core market of ours.
Yeah, they were doing co-living spaces, and now, like in Fort Worth, you have to have a certificate in order to do the co-living and everything like that, which I didn't think it was much red tape in order to do that, but I was just thinking if you guys had started looking into that at all.
Not yet. We're kind of laying low until it has to happen.
Don't ruffle up any dust, right? Okay, strike that from the podcast, right?
So we went over the acquisitions, your transition, how you're acquiring, you're a little bit on the numbers. So now let's get into like design, like not design, so it'd be like the furnishing, and then maybe go into property management, because there's two different property managers here.
From our side, I can say, so Padsplit, we have the secret sauce. We have the blueprint, we have the guides for the renovation, for the furnishing, and then the onboarding listing phase. So we kind of give that to the investors so they know exactly what to do, whether or not they want to kind of deviate from that a little bit in terms of quality. That's dependent on the host. But yeah, that'll be the support that I provide directly to the investors. And then once they go live, we hand them off to the market GM, Marcus, who can kind of help with the marketing side of it.
What are some basic furnishings you have to have, and then have you guys done anything different?
We are different.
Yeah. Okay, I assume so.
I mean, the stuff that we recommend is not the best quality. It's off of Amazon, Home Depot, so it gets the job done, not super expensive. But bed frame, nightstand, night lamp, mattress cover, if there's no clothing storage, some sort of clothing storage, maybe a dresser or exposed shelf or something. A desk chair, a piece of artwork. We recommend also, it's not required, but if you're a savvy host, you should do this, possibly a mini fridge or full-size mirror as well. So the idea with all that is to reduce conflict that happens mostly in the common areas. So in the kitchen, they're sharing space in the fridge. They should be labeled, but still add the mini fridge so they have their own private fridge space. For mirrors, it decongests the bathrooms quite a bit. People get dressed in front of mirrors, they put makeup on in front of mirrors, so if they have that in the rooms, that decongests the bathrooms quite a bit. Yeah, so we provide you exactly with the list of things to buy.
Cool. And so what do you guys do? And is there premium? Yeah. Is there like premiums? Like, you can get this bedroom over here.
Yeah, you definitely. You get, definitely go and do price adjustments for each of the rooms based on the size of the room or some of the amenities that the room offers. But circling back to the fact that the ones we started with were our short-term rentals. So they were super nice and stuff.
Putting greens, hot tubs, the TVs.
Oh, they're loving it.
They look like those bachelor
Airbnbs. So we had to come up.
Gina designed them.
We had to come up with the decision of, hey, do we strip it down to the minimal requirements of Padsplit, or do we try and set ourselves apart by providing these extra amenities? So we said, nope, let's stick with what we've got. All of our houses have full bedding, not just a mattress pad, but like we're doing sheets and comforters, quilts, all of that. We were providing towels and stuff. All our kitchens are fully stocked with everything that you can need. And they just don't look like sterile rooms. They look like you would a short-term rental, just fun and funky and stuff. Moving forward on the other houses that we onboarded, we went back a little bit more to Padsplit's model, just, trying to save a little bit of money and still get that higher priced room. But we continued with the linens and everything. I am a great shopper. I love Goodwill, Home Goods, everything. And you kind of get it down pat. So I know where to get my beds. I know where to get my mattresses and everything. And you just do a big build day and you know, hope awesome. That you're set apart. Yeah. But as these new ones are coming on board, I'm seeing more and more that are a little they're bit more on. High yeah. end. Yeah. They're okay. seeing these and saying, yeah. hey, this works for them. And so whereas you can get $210, well, we're getting $284 a week in some of our rooms. Wow. So that's yeah. how we set ourselves aside. Yeah,
the idea is like kind of what both of these guys says is if you have to move out, you're grabbing your bags and mm-hmm. you're moving in the next day. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. how we kind of approach it. So okay. when she says full kitchen, toasters, mugs, silverware, plates, everything okay. you coffee need. You need nothing. Coffee pot, toasters, you know.
Yeah.
And which then, is usually not required. So we don't require a host to provide linens or kitchenware yeah. or anything like that. But okay. if you're thinking about the move-in experience and the general member experience, mm-hmm. yep. that makes it a lot more palatable. And
like it. Yeah. yeah. Frictionless.
The more likely they're going to yeah. yeah. stay.
Pillows,
longer.
Like mm-hmm. everything is move-in ready. And then ours are obviously all remodeled. So they're, you know, everything's brand new. Roof, AC, tile, kitchen, cabinets, granite.
Great.
Bathrooms, like everything's brand new. So they're walking into... Hopefully, yeah. a nicer yeah. wow. situation.
It's a good feeling. Mm-hmm. Going from like
a lot cheaper.
I can't find a place. I can't afford yeah. nothing. I was on a couch, yep. and now couch it's like
surfing. Yeah,
remodeled house.
Yeah, yep. a lot of moms great. And dads are, yeah. are thanking us getting their kids out of the
yeah.
house, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
it makes you feel good.
Get my 35-year-old really son out. Wow. Here.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
you did for me.
Yeah, it's like more confidence. I'm going to work. I'm gonna go get a job now. Or I don't know. Demographic exactly, but I'm assuming there's in yeah. that transition or growth stage. Yeah.
There are a lot of transitional yeah. people yeah. that are currently going through divorces and yeah. stuff, and mm-hmm. you know, need a place to stay. Or my mom always talks to me about this, that older community. Mm-hmm. You know, like we said, we had the 75. True. I mm-hmm. think we probably have at least. I would probably say almost 10 members that are over 55 50? Years old.
Wow. Yeah.
in our yeah. homes. That so works. You got to understand they are on a very strict income and mm-hmm. they need something mm-hmm. and they have been amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I was going
to
say that's some of our best members because they're yeah. on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm. No, why don't you guys, I think it would be helpful, why don't you guys talk about the screening process because yeah, that sure. might yeah. get some yeah. fears in
out yeah, of people's yeah. head. I mentioned earlier barrier to entry is lower, so there's no security deposit. Instead, it's just a one-time move-in fee set mm-hmm. by the host themselves. And that's really designed to cover the room turnover costs, which usually is a quick clean. There's mm-hmm. no credit check, so again, barrier to entry is very low, but we'll still do background checks, income checks. I believe there's a violent or sexual crime that disqualifies them immediately. They're allowed a maximum of one eviction in the last 7 years. Sometimes life happens, but if it's more than that, that's a little bit of a pattern which we don't like. But Brian and Gina, they go above and beyond yeah, as they do, and they do yeah. their own research as well. So when somebody submits a request to move in, they'll Google, yeah. try to find a phone number, get in touch with them.
Yeah, we do. Just for our own well-being, you kind of want to know who's coming into your house. And you yeah. trust that PadSplit's going to do their job. But I took it one step further, so I just started researching the name. I actually mm-hmm. started pulling up their own, you know, if they had any records and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a couple stuff that comes up. But Brian and I really believe...
So talk about the difference between being accused and convicted. Because yours is if they were convicted... But then talk about that, because I think it's important.
Okay.
Babe.
So they can pass the PadSplit background check, but we found that if they're accused of something, it's not going to show up on the PadSplit right. background right. check. Mm-hmm. But you can still find it in public record. Mm-hmm. And so Brian and I, we believe in forgiveness and giving people a second chance and stuff. So in these situations, we pick up the phone. Yep. And we give them a call.
Yeah. And have what was the situation?
And have an uncomfortable situation. Because mm-hmm. the thing is, like, when you're talking about rentals, I've worked with so many people, and people are just weird about their own houses, right? Mm-hmm. So when we have our meetups and when we're doing our training and coaching and stuff like that, we're telling people, trust the system.
Yep.
Yep.
People don't want to trust the system. So we're trusting the system, but then we're just taking it another step further, which mm-hmm. has been... very rewarding.
Tell them yeah. about. Yeah, I mean, we had one member that something did come up on his record that we found, and we called him up and had a conversation with him, and he was very humble and opened up and shared what happened, and we were just honest with him and say, hey, you know what? We believe in second chances. You know,
cool.
We're gonna take a chance on you. And honestly, he is one of our best members. I was yeah. just texting him this morning. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I've got some new sheets coming. Can you bring them in and mm-hmm. stuff? And he is just so grateful. And he said so many times, thank you for giving me a chance.
Well, we've done that like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, we have.
And they've mm-hmm. all been like okay.
apps. Solid, it's like pad split pro tip,
right? Yeah. It's just because it's once because there's so many fears that people have, and then people that haven't done as many houses as we have, you even have more fears,
right?
And if someone's like, "Hey, I work a job. I've worked at a job for 5 years, and that's all I've done, and I want to get into real estate investing because I want to have some passive income, and I want to actually help my future," like, this is a way they can do it, but they're going to even be more scared of the whole process. So that's what I think these things, podcasts and you guys are kind of helping everybody kind of understand what it is, kind of slay that monster in your head that you have.
And trust PadSplit. Like they're going to do their job. And if you decide to take it one step further, I mean, there's no harm in that. As a host or you have the ability to not accept somebody in your home and stuff.
24 hours. Reject or accept or decline.
So talk about the utility or the expenses. Do the hosts pay all of the utility bills?
So on all of our homes, we do put a little like a glass lock pad over our AC and heat. We can control it from our phones as well. Just like short-term rentals, people get in there and they think it's a hotel and they're going to drop that down to help keep things consistent. You can kind of just keep it at a steady thing. If people ask, they're like, "Oh, it's cold." What was it? It was like 75 and someone was asking to turn the heat on. I'm like, open the window.
Right. Let some of the hot air
in. Open the window.
We're looking at our thermostats at 66. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, so that's all pretty consistent. You just need to make sure that your internet, the Wi-Fi speed is high enough to reach all the rooms. We do add little extra connectors in the kitchen to help that out. But I would probably say our expenses...
Cleaning.
So one thing that we do is we have the house cleaned twice a month. So that's all the common areas.
Once is required, but we do
twice a month. I do send out reminders just saying, hey, cleaners are coming. They're not going to clean up after your mess. It is your responsibility to make sure there's no dishes in the sink. And the cleaners get in there, do a clean in all the bathrooms in the common areas. We have a great set of cleaners.
And we have a guy that goes by every week and does some, you know, just the yard, the yard stuff, and so he'll go in through the house, and so we have eyes on it, and then we're in it a lot, but so we have that expense as well, you know, kind of landscaping. But most of ours are desert, so you know, you're not dealing with cutting grass, that you're blowing off and spraying weeds. And so they're pretty basic.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't expect our electric bills to go up skyrocketing high because we do monitor where we keep that up. You know, everybody can always go buy an extra pay fan if you need, but we keep the houses cooler than we keep our own house. And so I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But
so yeah, utilities, you got
rent collection,
trash.
Yeah, do they pay PadSplit or do they pay you guys?
They pay PadSplit.
Yeah, it's all through the app. I mean, that's kind of what PadSplit is, a tech company. Yeah, yeah. So their platform is awesome for both parties. So PadSplit collects, they pay you monthly, they take their fee out, and the fee actually just changes. I don't know if Ellis can talk about that afterwards to benefit everybody. So it's great. So the PadSplit fee, and then you're coming out and you've got your mortgage, your cleaning, and any repair and maintenance. If you have a pool, you know, you'll have some pool cleaning costs. So just your normal expenses that you have at your house. You're gonna cure. So, but it's, you try to just get it to where it's, you know, steady. We, because our homes are remodeled, we don't have many R&M problems.
Right.
It's, for some reason, it's the towel rack falls off or the door handles. Like, we do need to find a door handle that we like. We've tried, I think, two or three now. And they're all just have their own little issues because they each have codes that they can use. Each one has a little trick. There's a toggle on the back. If they do it, then they're locked out.
Okay.
So then, like, that's an issue. So people are getting locked out. So we changed and took that toggle off. And so those are your R&Ms that we have. There's nothing major, but, you know. So
that's
the costs
good,
are steady.
So each bedroom has their own lock.
Correct.
And everything
Same
that.
With the front door. Yeah, it's meant to be a self-sufficient move-in experience for the members.
Yeah.
They're renting sight unseen, so you don't have to be there to let them in, hand off keys or anything like that.
It's really amazing.
Wow. But we do like to make our presence in our homes. That's one thing that I think I'm not sure all the hosts do. Yeah. I think it provides for us just a little bit of security that they see our face. Mm-hmm. This is our home, and they should respect it. And it's been a great experience. I mean, different from your short-term rentals, like, hey, you've got guests there for a week. Well, you can't just walk in that house and change the air filter if you need to.
True.
But with our short-term rentals, our pad splits, they're used to seeing us come and go and stuff.
I like that.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say is, like, you know, if I'm renting a room and there's somebody new, is there some kind of welcome to the to everyone else saying, hey, there's going to be a new tenant coming, you know, April 1st, or
I don't know if the on, so they can log on to their house. This would be the members that are the tenants that are living, can log in and see all the different members in the house. So I don't know if they get a notification that someone new is moving in. Yeah,
like some kind of onboarding.
But, you know, we have our house manuals that are sent out on the day of them arriving with all the instructions. And then I also keep, you know, house manuals in the house.
Okay.
Just about expectations about co-living and peaceful living and how we expect the house to look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do need some friendly reminders sometimes and everything and managing personalities and learning how to get along with everybody. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's super smooth, and we are very, very happy.
I have to say, it's not a coincidence that your occupancy is high, your members are staying longer, you're getting higher rates, because they're managing their properties very well.
So now, you guys got 61 doors, was it? Did I hear
51.
That
right?
51.
Yeah.
Now, the next phase, so what, you know, as we wind down on the conversation, so much that we could probably talk about in hours about this.
We'll do another one.
So so what are you guys doing now, right? Because you talked about maybe the turnkey model or education or events.
Yes.
Like, what do you guys got going on?
So we did an event in January with Ellis at our office, and we're doing another one at the end of April, April 30th, at the Gentry Real Estate office, April 30th from 6 to 8.
Yeah.
And so we basically had a group of people came in, and we kind of showed them how we do it. So, you know, from purchasing the home at a discount, finding the hard money, the contractor, and then refinancing it with the DSCR loan, and then having, you know, Ellis and Pat Split and his team come in there and fill it. So those are the five kind of things that we talked about. We had Ellis spoke, we had our hard money lender speak, and we just kind of shared how we do it. And because we just, you know, like I said, we wanted the equity, because we're looking at this as like, this is a long-term thing. And this is a way, you know, the traditional real estate, you know, rental, that doesn't exist anymore. So we're talking about, this is the new way to do it. So we want to build a portfolio for our future and to get passive income. I mean, these things, you know, a normal rental, you're making $100, $200 a month, you're happy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now you're making $1 to $2,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
That's game changing, right? So we're going to do another event, and we're trying to raise money and tell everybody and their mother what we're doing to raise private funds so we can do more. And so that's kind of been our focus. And, you know, Ellis is awesome to work with. We enjoy him, and we text and talk and all that time. And Marcus, the marketing guy from, he lives in Las Vegas, he's very helpful. Okay. So Gene and I are helping Ellis as much as we can, and he's helping us. And it's a great relationship. Like, Ellis really he's just there to help facilitate, answer questions. He wants you to grow, because that obviously benefits him and Pat Split. So, like, they want you to succeed, and it's refreshing. So
it is awesome.
Yeah. Excellent.
You said something important though. You know, traditional rentals aren't the same. Like, just the pricing is high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to adapt. You got to change interest rates. I was reading a quote. It's like, how do you see the future? And it was like, he said, you got to look through the eyes of a child, like a teenager. How are they living? Or where do they think their future is going to look like?
Yeah.
And I know we're handling affordability, but it's like, I think everyone's going to live different.
Yeah.
More
you
transition.
Know,
yeah.
Just.
I mean, I've been in the co-living game since 2017. This is the fourth co-living company I've worked for. The previous three were based in the Bay Area. It's been around, I mean, even prior to that, decades prior to this. But if you're looking at co-living to help solve the affordability thing, this is it.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
So,
yeah.
Cool. So event, is that every month or is it just quarterly?
Well,
we were supposed to have one last month.
We got married.
So.
Yeah. So we're going to try to do it every month or every other month. And then, because we're still going to Ellis, Ellis has one every month for new people. So, and we're talking about, you know, possibly doing something together to you know, make it a little more efficient and just more educational. Because, you know, we go to Four Peaks and drink a lot of beer. And
Yeah, that one's a little bit more open network. Structured with presentations. I really like
Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, we have, we feel that the way we do it, our model that we have, you're using basically half the money that it would normally take to buy it, because you know, when you're using hard money in the beginning as a purchase and then you're refinancing it out, you need about half the amount of funds you would need if you were buying it full retail.
Traditional,
So it just makes sense, and then you have equity, and you know.
And we're holding their hands throughout the whole process. I mean, it's, you know, we're helping them acquire the house, and then we're handing them off to vetted contractors that we have already gone through and say, hey, this is a good co-living house. This is what you should do. This is where you should put this wall.
And we'll help design and show them where we purchase stuff. And then just every time along, and we've created kind of like a, we call it a full circle, you know, Bible, where it's step by step from acquisition to going live.
And we've
created that doc and kind of helped them in their calling. And you know, it's been exciting because we feel, you know, as we talk to so many people in corporate, I think, I don't know if we've talked about this, Alice, but I don't know who I talked about in, with corporate, but they said once you hit about 1,000 doors, then the amount of marketing that you need to fill the room kind of goes away. It becomes a self-sufficient market because the word's out there. So as we're helping people grow, Alice is helping people grow, like you're getting the word out there, and then it's just going to take off from there. And I don't know how many homes.
How many doors do you have now?
420.
All right, halfway there almost.
Yeah. You know? I mean, by the end of the year, it's, we're looking good.
But PadSplit, they'll spend about $200 a room.
I think $300 customer acquisition cost. Yeah,
they'll help. They're spending money to fill our rooms, and so it just makes a lot of sense.
And what are the numbers again? They said that by the time you go live, within the first certain days, that you'll have your first occupancy.
Right. I was just looking at the data. I think it's. I don't know if it's accurate because it says 1.5.
Oh, okay.
Right now, which is extremely fast.
But it was 3 days.
Yeah, it kind of fluctuates.
And then 18 days to 85%.
80%, yeah.
And I would I would definitely attest to that.
Yeah.
For sure.
It also depends on the quality of your product, how responsive you are as well. Right. But on average, we're seeing, I mean, there's obviously a demand.
Yeah, so and then so that's the thing that we're experiencing right now. Like we just went live in a house where we have 6 of the 8, but then, you know, PadSplit also goes through inflections. So he just had a bunch of hosts like us say, hey, you know, we've got these rooms we need filled. Well, we just had what, 6 houses go live, and so you've got 70 rooms
available,
and so then all of a sudden they're catching up, boom, spending money, getting them filled, and then it goes down. But it will go down, like you'll look one day at 70 and the next day you'll look it's 30, and then you're back to normal. You know.
Yeah, and I've talked to a couple hosts, and they're like, oh, I haven't gotten a booking yet. And so just kind of one of the things that we do is we just kind of help guide them. Like, I'll review what they have listed, and I'll be like, hey, change it up a little bit this way. Put this picture first and stuff. So what's going to catch their eyes and stuff?
Yeah, change the listing description.
Right.
Yeah.
We did that with one gal, and she called the next day.
She's like, I got a book.
I got a person.
So where is all of the marketing going? Like, who is your target demographics, and where is it being posted, you know, like with realtors?
It's online, all the big social media websites,
buses.
We do
had
some
somebody move in who's like, oh, I saw it on our bus.
Marketing. I know we're experimenting with laundromats as well. Hosts can market wherever they want, and if they find somebody, we'll pay you $150.
I mean, is it like a PadSplit, Zillow, or something like that?
Yeah, we have. We're a listing site essentially with the rent by room software behind it.
Gotcha. Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Roomy,
Craigslist,
all those places, they're marketing.
Okay.
On our behalf.
But the more we get the word out, like events like this and the events that we host, and I mean, the more it's going to be self-sustainable.
Yeah, exactly,
and it's
right.
not going to be. They're going to hear more about it.
Exactly. That cost per acquisition to go down.
Yeah, exactly. People who need affordable housing usually know other people that are in the same socioeconomic situation. So, like, the 1,000-bedroom mark.
And there's a lot of... I like how PadSplit has a lot of referrals. Like you said, if you fill your own room, they'll give you $150. If you guys refer another host to PadSplit, yep. you get money, and yeah, there's a yeah, lot of that exactly, referral. I bet you if a member...
They do. The members.
Do the members get yeah. referrals too? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, yeah exactly. Good stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
And actually we just talked about putting that up in our houses, just a little sign you about the member referrals mm-hmm. and stuff, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this podcast, tell Ellis yes. you heard from Ezra. Yeah, so
Marcus, yeah.
yes,
my email is.
Right. Well, speaking of, how do we get a hold of you? Yeah, yeah yes. let's wrap it up there.
So we're not on social media. Brian and I made a decision about like 2 years ago to cut off social media from our lives and just focus on what really matters.
People,
but we are on LinkedIn.
We are on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. I use LinkedIn for most of anything that we do with our business. I don't know if we can put our...
Whatever you want. Yes. You want someone to call?
How do we get in touch?
Wholesalers, send them deals. Yeah. Right? Yes. If you want to learn how to do PadSplit, call them. You want to go to their event, call them. So whatever it is, you tell us.
Yeah, you can email us. Want to lend them money, it's right here. You want to give her...
Smoke signals, throw a bottle in the ocean.
Sure, so you can call us, Brian, at 480-206-8482.
Awesome.
And email us at...
Brian at SelmaAZHomeQuick.com.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And then you can find me on LinkedIn at Gina King Dusky. And there's lots of links on there for our events and stuff.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Awesome. But no social media.
Okay. Good.
And we post some stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, we're starting a YouTube channel. And, that's what we're doing.
Really should. Yeah. You guys stand out so much.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
We're excited about it. It's like that's, you know, our passion is real estate. Like we obviously, you know, we talk a lot about real estate.
We do.
Even at home, like we're, you know, we're just sitting there.
And okay.
Yeah.
We both do it. So we love it.
Yeah. And then Ellis, how do we get in contact with you?
Yeah. I won't give my number. That will come once I help you out. But email me, ellis@padsplit.com. I also have a Facebook group that's growing. It's got, 700 members now, but great resource for current hosts to share their knowledge. I have my events scheduled there, and oftentimes I'm sharing deals also that comes across my desk, just working with, you know, a bunch of people in the space onto the Facebook group. It's called PadSplit Phoenix. Yeah, let's get in touch. Let's have lunch if you're interested, or we could do a Google Meet, or
Tokyo Joe's.
Tokyo Joe's. It's where it started.
All right,
guys, you know exactly what to do. Thank you again for being loyal listeners to the As Rhea Show. Purpose is to empower investors one property at a time. Remember, our show airs every Friday. So every Friday, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. And then also go to asria.org/calendar for all of our upcoming events, everything that we're doing. You can come out, meet the King Duskies, meet Ellis, meet Mike, and feel free to meet myself as well. So thank you again. And remember, every Friday, listen to a new episode, get inspired, get educated, get motivated, and take action.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the As Rhea Show with your hosts, Marcus Maloney and Mike Delprete. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you found this information valuable, head over to asria.org and learn more about our community.